Hey, thanks again for joining us here on Midwest Ag Matters. Always a pleasure to have you along. And I tell you what, whenever we have any kind of issues out in the fields, I tell you what, I've got Kirsten Wise, Purdue plant pathologist, on speed dial because she usually has all of the information that we need. So, Kirsten, thanks so much for giving us some time this morning. Sure appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
One of the reasons we wanted to catch up with you is because we heard some issues going on with seedling blight in some of the young soybeans. And obviously, with some of the challenges we've had this spring with some cool conditions and soil warmed up, got planted, and then it cooled off, and we got almost down to freezing. So we want to ask you about some of that. But first, let's start with seedling blight, because you have created a pretty nice video about that, and we're going to be posting that on the website. But tell us what's going on out there with the young soybean plants.
Well, you described it perfectly. When we plant into these good conditions, but then we have cool, wet temperatures that follow planting, that really stresses out a lot of our plants, and if they don't emerge quickly, they're just sort of sitting in these cool, wet conditions that can cause a lot of issues with stand establishment. And it could just be wet soils, but one of the other things that can cause issues with stand establishment are seedling blights. And those cool, wet conditions are great for the organisms that cause seedling blights.
So what are we looking for specifically? You get out in the field, you see some things that you think maybe look like seedling blight, but some of it's pretty obvious.
Right. So I always encourage farmers to go out and if they're walking their fields, that they have patches where they're seeing poor stand establishment, some skips or gaps. And if you're looking very closely at those plants, if they're discolored, if you dig them up, if the roots are mushy, those would be indications that a seedling blight could be the cause. Now, a lot of what we're seeing this spring is where the seeds are actually, they're trying to sprout, and they might be rotting before they ever get above the surface, because it was just so cold and wet, they never had a chance to actually crack the surface. And so if you see those patches, you can always dig up a few seeds to see if that's what happened.
Okay, a couple of the other things going on out there, because I know that soybeans are not the only ones that are, you know, sort of struggling with some of the conditions, if you will. I believe we've had some issues in the wheat. Is that correct?
Well, we have had a disease that we don't often see in wheat, and that's going to be stripe rust. And so those cool, wet conditions that sort of inhibited some of our corn and soybean growth have also been great for the fungus that causes stripe rust. And so if farmers are out there and they're seeing orange stripes on the leaves of their wheat plants, it's likely the cause of stripe rust.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of those that you know, the name absolutely describes perfectly what it is.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, you look at it and you go, oh, yeah, that's it right there.
Yeah.
How about the corn? You know, up in our area, we've had those issues that we were talking about with the cool soils. And, you know, obviously, you know, we had some warm weather early on, and we got a lot of activity done out there in the field, a lot of stuff planted. And then we ended up with those cool, wet conditions, just couldn't get out in the field. And then we actually got down to right around the freezing point, at freezing, maybe even just a little bit below as you get even closer to Michigan. And I got to believe with some of that corn, it really caused some issues to the extent that a lot of farmers are taking a look at their field right now and trying to make a decision about whether it's better to just dig it all up and replant it.
Right. So it's sort of the same story as soybeans, is that we planted, it got cool and wet, and those are going to be great conditions for some of the organisms that cause seedling blights of corn. Particularly, we're picking up a lot of Fusarium and Rhizoctonia seedling blights in corn at this time.
So if you believe that maybe you've got something, one of these, any one of these conditions, I know that in the video, and again, we're going to be posting that on the website because it's so instructive, but you and Gail Rule did this video, and there was, Gail did a very nice job of kind of explaining how to put together a sample of something that we believe is maybe an issue and send it in. Just give us kind of the overview of the instructions about how to get a sample and how to send it in to you guys.
Right, so sampling is really important because it's very important that Gail and I see that sample as close to what it was like in the field as possible. And so we advocate for going and digging up plants, making sure the root system is intact, and trying to keep that root system moist but not wet. And usually you can accomplish that if you dig it up and wrapping it in foil up to the crown of the plant, and then putting those plants in a Ziploc bag or wrapping them in newspaper, and then trying to ship them overnight if possible to our diagnostic lab.
Yeah, boy, it seems like the more tissue that you guys have to work with, the better the diagnosis is, correct?
That's right. So we'll like to see a few different plants from a few different spots of the field that are affected. And it's also really nice to have maybe a healthy looking plant or a more normal looking plant so that we can use that for comparison and mm-hmm. also to help us growth stage the crop too.
Yeah, make a nice reference there. As we look forward, again, we're talking with Kirsten Wise, Purdue plant pathologist. Kirsten, as we look forward, given the kind of conditions that we've had this spring, and now all of a sudden things have dried out, you know, we went through this spell of 80 plus degree temperatures. Anything that you're maybe looking for or that you would instruct farmers to maybe keep their eye out for as we go forward?
Right. This is always a hard question to look into the crystal ball. But if this kind of hot, warmer, drier period sort of continues, we worry about some of the diseases like charcoal rot in soybeans, which is more common in our dry weather years. And we're always concerned about ear rots in corn when we have dry conditions, but that's more as corn gets towards mm-hmm. tasseling. And so it's always, there's a disease for every environmental condition.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
We just have to always be thinking about what those environmental conditions are and what diseases might be favored by them.
And, you know, one of the things that I think I heard you referencing here recently was this wheat crop. And, you know, when you compare it to the rest of the country, our wheat has looked really pretty good. But with these conditions, it looks like maybe there's some possibilities of some issues as we finish off this wheat crop this spring.
Right. So, like I said, you know, we're always concerned about the stripe rust and what impact that might have on yield. And I think there's a few spots in Indiana where it came in early enough that we might see a little bit of yield loss due to that. And then we're always, as we sort of finish the wheat season, we're always concerned about fusarium head blight or head scab and what impact that mycotoxins like vomitoxin might have on the grain. And those are just some things to always think about. And we'll be assessing the wheat crop in the next week or so, and mm-hmm. if we start to see a lot of fusarium head blight, we'll definitely put an alert out so farmers can manage that wheat grain appropriately.
Okay, good stuff. Kirsten Wise, Purdue plant pathologist, always great to talk to you. We always feel a little bit smarter when we get done chatting with you. Thanks a bunch. Appreciate it.
All right, no problem.